Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Y'all tell the people this, huh? Uh-huh.
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzee. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get'em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, our parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We are featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Y'all tell the people this, huh?
Hallelujah. Yes, the Lord our God in the midst of thee is mighty. Welcome, 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 everyone, to God in the Midst, Get'em Radios. Hallelujah. Thursday night edition. Glory to God. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We love you. We absolutely adore you. And we thank you, Lord, that your word says that if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. We thank you, Lord, for being in the midst tonight. Thank you for moving by your spirit and doing as only you can do. Lord, we continue to dedicate this broadcast to you, every part of it, every little jot, every little tittle, every part of this broadcast, we dedicate it to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are touching right now each and every person who's listening and even those who will listen in the future. Whatever's wrong, you're making it right. And whatever's right, setting it apart and dedicating it for your use and for your glory. And Lord God, we thank you that you move mightily tonight, Lord. There's some information. There's some revelation that you want to come forth tonight for your people. And Lord God, we receive it right now. And we make a demand on the anointing in our guest speaker tonight. Hallelujah. That you will just move mightily through her. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, I pray that all of the mothers had a wonderful Mother's Day this past Sunday. We just had a super time. Hallelujah. I got to be with two of my sisters. Hallelujah. And one of them was my oldest sister was with Pastor Mom, and I ended up going out of town for the weekend, and I had a good time there, and I had a good time coming back home as well. And so I hope a really good time this Sunday, and you continue to do that. Praise God. So tonight and the rest of this month, we are having Wise Mothers Month. We've done this before, and the Lord just laid on our hearts to do it again. We haven't done it in about 3 years, and so he's led us to come back again with Wise Mothers Month. Last week, we had our very own Pastor Mom with us last week. If you happen to have missed it, please go back into the archives. You will be blessed. I was so blessed by it. You know, she talked about raising children. She gave us some recipes and cooking recipes, and also what the scriptures that the Lord has given to her that has blessed her over the years that she stood on as she raised her seven children. Amen. So tonight, you know what? God does everything on purpose. I really didn't realize it was going to be like this, but our speaker tonight has seven children. Amen. My mom has seven children. Our speaker next week has seven children. God is doing something here. Amen. There's some completion that he's doing with these seven. Glory to God. And then our speaker for tonight is Dr. Leslie Barker. We have been friends for, it's been some time. It had to be over 20 years. And, she's a beautiful woman of God, her with intercession. In a great way, even strategic intercession, putting together teams. And I know, she's kind of doing that right now in her life, and maybe she'll tell us a little bit about that, what she's doing right now. But God uses her in a great way. And she has raised seven children. They're all grown now. And so this is such a wonderful opportunity to talk to her. Now, I noticed something a little interesting. Numbers are in here today for some reason. I went back to look at the times that Dr. Leslie has been on Get 'Em Radio. And she was with us in 2016. She was doing a warfare series on the War Room, and I remember War Room on steroids. So that was in 2016. Then she came back in 2018, and I believe she was talking about her books in 2018. And then she came back in 2020 when we had Authors Month again, and she talked about some of her books then. And then she was with us 2016, 2018, 2020, and she's back again 2022. And this was not thought of by me or contrived by me to have her on every other year, every even year. God is doing something. That's all I can say. God is doing something. He is speaking. And we have Dr. Leslie Barker with us, and so I want to introduce to some and present to all my friend, Dr. Leslie Barker. Welcome, Dr. Leslie.
Thank you so much, Apostle Kizzy. I really, really value our friendship. It is, like you said, many years old. We don't get to be in the same space too often, but the Lord has really knit our hearts, and I value your counsel. I value your discernment. I find it interesting when the Lord puts each other on our hearts. It's usually significant. So,
amen.
Thank you for those kind words. It is a pleasure to be here, and I echo you. Let the Lord have His way in my mouth, in my thoughts, in what people hear, and what happens in the next few minutes.
Amen. Amen. And we always have a good time together, no matter what.
Yes,
hallelujah,
for sure.
Amen. I just love that. Now, this every other year thing, every even year since 2016, now we're asking for a revelation on that. And the first one I got was, there's nothing odd about you. Or me.
That's
right?
Wonderful. Amen.
Not odd.
But we are peculiar.
Yeah, we're peculiar, but not we're not odd. We're
there
even. Hallelujah.
Thanks. That's good.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
That's wonderful.
So let's jump into this Wise Mother's Month. Tell us, what is your favorite? I know that's kind of tough, but your favorite scripture, or one that the Lord's laid on your heart recently?
Well, I do have a favorite scripture that, I mean, I have one that's kind of, there are a couple. And I would have to say that my search for the Lord was informed by a verse that I was given when I was in eighth grade. And that was, if you continue in the truth, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then after I became a believer, the verse, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. So those are kind of defining words, encouraging words. But my favorite scripture is Philippians chapter 3, and it is verse 10. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's my favorite scripture. And that's my heart. I want to know Jesus. I want to know him better today than I knew him yesterday.
Oh,
I want to press into relationship with him through his word and through his spirit. And if I have nothing else to show at the end of my life, but I'm his friend and I know him intimately, that's enough. That's way enough.
Amen. Amen. That'll take you all the way right there, because there were some times where the Lord, he had said to me, you know, if nobody knows who you are, if nobody knows what I've invested in you, and you know that I love you, and, you know, and we're together, and, you know, we have this relationship, is that enough for you?
Amen.
And don't give a quick answer.
mm-hmm. I'll tell you a story that kind of goes with Mother's Day and with this verse. Sunday, I went to church, and I'm not living anywhere near any of my children. So it's kind of a bittersweet day to go to church alone when everybody else has their whole family with them, and everybody else gets taken out to dinner, and, oh, I'm going to go home and pull weeds. Okay.
You know, it's kind of bittersweet. And the whole service was honoring mothers. And, of course, nobody where I live today knows any of my family. I came to do something for the Lord, and I came alone about 4 years ago. So my marriage and, you know, children are not part of what anybody associates with me. So it's just interesting, and I find Mother's Day difficult. So our pastor, Pastor Krista Hampton, had purchased something like 300 bracelets, and each one of them had a scripture on them, and I think that there were like 60 different scriptures engraved. And from the pulpit, she said, "Now, I've got a bracelet. Everybody make sure you get one on your way out." And I've prayed over these bracelets that you're going to get exactly the scripture that the Lord wants you to have, that you need, and that you can hold on to. And so I left, you know, I'm on the staff at that church, so I had some things to do at the end of the service, and I'm you know, just ready to walk out the door, and I thought, I don't even care about a bracelet, you know. And then I remembered what she had said, and I went back, and I looked in the basket, and there weren't that many left because I wasn't leaving immediately, but there was one in a red bag, and so I picked that one out. It's the only red bag, and I opened it, and it's this little stainless steel rectangle with like a leather tie to make the bracelet, and it said, "Her worth far above rubies," from Proverbs 21. And I thought, Lord, you mean that? Is that for me? Is that really for me? You know, and it was so sweet. You know, and I put it on and I kept looking at it and wearing, "You really said that to me?" You know, and then as I heard what other people pulled out of the basket, every scripture that I've seen associated with the woman who grabbed it, the Lord gave the word. And so that story, it was very meaningful to me. But I do pray, Apostle Kizzy, that this would be that kind of broadcast, that everybody who's listening gets something that's just from the Lord, just for them, turns their head, and they go, "Oh, thank you. That's just for me."
Yeah. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe we're there. Hallelujah. Amen. So, thank you. Thank you. That was good. That was a good account of what happened. That touched my heart, too. Because God can, you know, you think you're just reaching in a bag and He had already set it up.
yeah.
That's what you were going to get. And really kind of along the same kind of thing, my nieces were giving everyone bracelets, all the ladies' bracelets for Mother's Day. And so they had a lot to do. And so the oldest niece was doing it at the last minute. And she just prayed and she said, "Lord, who should get this bracelet?" Every one of us, it was a pearl bracelet with a little color in it. Every one of us got exactly what matched our outfit.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, "Did you like take the time and look?" No, she said, "No. The Lord told me which one to give you." I mean, in mine, I hardly ever wear these colors that I had on Sunday, and it matched perfectly. So,
isn't that sweet?
It was. It was very sweet. Mm. So God has a way of saying, "I see you. I see you. And I'm here." Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah, those are two of his names, right?
Say it again.
Those are two of his names, the Lord who sees and Emmanuel. Yes. I'm here.
Yes. Yes. And more, the Lord who sees means so much to me.
Yes, amen.
That's a whole nother broadcast, but more that's very meaningful to me. Amen. Okay, let's go into your salvation experience.
Well, I think I actually shared this with the broadcast times I was on, but I grew up in New York City, and I attended a small Lutheran church, but my family had no believers, and we were at that church just to get a discount on the Lutheran school's tuition because they were willing to take me as a four-year-old into kindergarten. And my parents, apparently I was quite difficult. And my mother had a set of twins that were 2 years younger than me. And so she was overwhelmed and wanted me in school. Anyway, I really, okay. Although I was churched and I knew the word pretty well because we memorized a lot of it as our homework and religion classes. And I have a very, not so much anymore, but I have a very good, when I was a kid, nearly a photographic memory. So I really did know the words. If I had read something, I'd remember it. But I had never met anybody that had a relationship with Jesus Christ. I had never met anybody that had fully surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. And I had met plenty of people that were practicing various non-Christian spiritual disciplines and actions, and I found myself at a time where I had to know. I was driven through high school. I had to know if God was real, then I wanted, you know, if God was real, I had to find out. And it took about 5 years between eighth grade and my senior year of high school. My senior year of high school, I was an exchange student at a boarding school in England. And it was there that I encountered an Anglican nun who challenged everything about my understanding because she really did know the Lord. And I understood what it was like to be with Christians where there was light, and then I would go back to school and I would physically feel that I was in the darkness. And it was because the light was external and the darkness was everywhere until the day that I encountered an Anglican priest who was speaking on the Holy Spirit. This is in 1973 in the spring, about this time. It was Pentecost weekend, so it was right early June that year. And he asked me, he said, "So Leslie, how long have you been a Christian?" And my response was pretty typical. I said, "Well, I'm not a Christian, and I don't want to be a Christian." And he said, "Oh, well, tell me all about it." And so I spilled my story. And at the end of that, over a cup of tea at a break, he was the speaker, and I was a teenager. And this was a conference for adults, but he spent a whole break having tea with this American just turned 17-year-old. At the end of that conversation, he said to me, "You know everything you need to know. All that's left is for you to make a decision." And he said, "I want you to go home, make your decision, and come back tomorrow and tell me what you've decided. And the Holy Spirit blinded me to the understanding that I had the option not to go back the next day. I just knew it was then or never. I had to make the decision, and I had to go back and tell him the next day. He didn't know where I lived. He didn't even know my last name. He couldn't have found me. But, and he wouldn't have chased me. You know, I know that now, but, you know, the Lord was chasing me. And I had this little space in this annex for some of the honors students in the, you know, the highest grade there. I had three walls and a curtain, a bed and a sink, and a chair in my little cubicle. And I spent that night weeping before the Lord and knowing that if I became a Christian, thing would have to change. It meant my family would probably just really reject me. It meant that my friends, I built my identity on being an atheist, you know, so I would have to give up my identity. There were lots of other just major pieces that I knew this was going to cost me. But I said, Jesus, if you're real, like this man says, like my friend the nun says, then, and here I am dictating terms to the creator of the universe, right? But as a 17-year-old little thing. But I said, God, if you're real, then that means that when I speak to you, you'll hear me. And when you hear me, I'll know what you said. And if you're real, and if we can have a relationship like that, then I want to know you. And that was as close as I came to praying a sinner's prayer, but everything was on the line. I knew it. I knew it was a total surrender to the Lord, mm-hmm. and that I no longer would have the charge of my own life, that I would have to follow him and yield to him, that he would be the one that would teach me how to walk, where to walk, what to do, because I knew that everything that I had been raised to believe and to understand did not conform to the word of the Lord or to the Lord, because they were blasphemous and hating the Lord, the family that I came from, at least at that time. And, so I knew it was a total surrender, and it was forever and always. And as soon as I prayed that way, I can't mm-hmm. explain what happened, except that I knew Jesus, and he was my friend, and he talked to me, and we walked together. And the next morning when I came out on my way to tell this priest what I had decided, the first girl that I met was a Hindu girl from Sri Lanka named Shamim. And I sat with her. We had coffee. And I said, I just met Jesus, and he's real. And who knows what Shamim has gone on to do. I don't remember her last name. I couldn't find her. Pivot point for my whole life, and I've never looked back.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So did you tell the Hindu girl about Jesus?
Oh yeah, that first morning. What I could tell her, you know, what I was six what? Hours in the kingdom, you know. Jesus is real and I know him. You know, that's what, you know, he really is God, you know, he's real. That's all I knew.
Well, when we get to heaven, we're going to find out the impact of that. I believe it was a great impact, you know, just to say that to her. She probably saw something different in you and not actually mm-hmm. knew what it was, but that was mm-hmm. it. Go ahead.
It was so interesting that stepped into that meeting the day that I had tea with this priest. It was like I stepped out of the darkness and I stepped into the light. And when I stepped out of that meeting, I was back in the darkness. But it was always because the light was on the outside of me. And after that, after I met the Lord, the light was in me as well.
Hallelujah.
So that's what I trust people to see, you know. What is it, you know, we have to give a clear witness. We have to be able to answer anybody who asks us about the hope that is within us. But, you know, I believe that as we grow, we learn more. I mean, at this point, all I knew was that I knew Jesus. And while I knew the Bible very well, I even had in the United States, it would be a Bible college degree because I took advanced level religious knowledge in that school, and it was a Bible course. It was a 2-year course that I did in 1 year, but I didn't know anything more than that it was a textbook. So even after I met the Lord, I packed it up with the books and I shipped it not to my home in New York where I was going to spend the summer. I shipped it to St. Louis to be waiting for me at the end of the summer when I got to college there. It's just kind of funny, you know, and that book that is my, you know, our bread and our you know, our very basis for how we understand the Lord. I totally misunderstood it at first, you know, but the Lord was with me, and by His Spirit, He continued to keep me through that summer.
Amen. So you went back and you talked to the priest and you told him about your decision?
Yes, and he said, "Oh, very nice." And then he went on with his meeting. You know, it was no big deal. So it was very anticlimactic, you know.
Well, I'm sure he knew in some way that it had been accomplished.
I'm sure.
Yes. Because of the inside now. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's go on to you being, did you get water baptized?
I did. It took a couple years. I got water baptized in St. Louis at, I think it was in 1970, either late 73 or early 70, no, it had to be 74 or maybe very early 75. It was during the Charismatic Renewal. And for those of you who are in St. Louis and were around at that time, there was a very large church, New Covenant Fellowship, that met at what is now the Maryland Heights Community Center. And they had a big sanctuary they nicknamed the Sheep Shed. And there was a service every Thursday evening, and people came from all over the region who were not leaving their traditional churches per se, but were going to the meeting on Thursday night. And, you know, 20 to 100 people would get baptized at the end of every service. And one service, the Lord told me to get baptized, and so I did.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It was cool, yeah. It was cool. And you know, and that was after I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That happened because when I got to Washington University, the Holy Spirit had fallen on the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, a student group there, at about exactly the same time that I was getting saved in England. And when I got to school as a freshman, I was hunting for Christians. And I went to every, because I really did not believe, I did not believe that there were any Christians in the United States because I'd never met any.
And so for that whole summer, I'm saying, Jesus, if there are any Christians in the United States, let them be at Washington University in St. Louis. And if there aren't any, that's okay. I'll tell them about you. And so when I got, my dad flew with me and dropped me off at the campus, and he was with me. He took me to get a bank account, and then he went back to the, after about 2 hours, he went back to the airport and flew home and left me. And I spent the next 2 hours going to every freshman that I could find, because it was the freshman moved in earlier than the other grades. And I said to everybody, oh, there's going to be a train soon, so you it might be loud. My window is open. I said to everybody, I know Jesus. He's real. Do you know him? And I met within 2 hours, I met 12 Christians, and none of the rest of them had met anybody else. At this time, Washington University was 70% Jewish from New York. And so the likelihood of finding any Christians there was slim. And then one of the gals and I were in line at a concession stand. We were talking about the Lord. Now, I've had no fellowship, because as soon as I met the Lord, within 2 or 3 weeks, I came home. But I've had no fellowship this whole time, just Jesus, and no word. The only word I had during that summer was the film Godspell, because that's when it was in theaters.
Wow.
That's, you know, there's a lot of word in that film, you know. I went several times. I didn't understand why it was so significant to me, you know, but it was the word, you know, that I was starving. But the two of us were in line talking about the Lord, and this big, tall guy, Peter, turned around and said, well, are you looking for a campus fellowship? Because I'm the president of the Christian ministry on campus. He was a junior that year. And so within 2 hours, we were plugged in to the Christian fellowship on campus, and they had received the baptism as a group several months earlier. And so we were all figuring out how to handle the things of the Holy Spirit without any real, I mean, the pastors didn't know what we were talking about, but, you know, the staff members for the ministry, you know, they were like tolerant, but they didn't know any more than us. It was such a new thing being poured out on our age group at that point and beyond, but it was a fascinating time.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Washington. Praise God. And I love that you went hunting for Christians.
I did.
Amen. As a teenager, hunting for Christians. And hey, and you found them real fast.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay. Let's get into our, we spent quite a bit of time. Okay. It's okay. It was meaningful. Amen. So let's talk about your children. Tell us about your children from any direction you want to come in.
All right. Well, like you said in the introduction, I have 7 children. I have 5 girls and 2 boys. And I also have 6 grandchildren and 1 on the way. So I actually have 7 grandchildren, which is pretty cool. Thank you. Children are interesting. I got married when I was a senior in college, and I got pregnant very quickly. And that baby died, and I had a miscarriage fairly early, and it devastated me, scared me. And
I didn't know how to process it. But I heard the Lord, and he said to me, in a year, you will conceive and bear a child. And the next October, late October, my daughter Esther was born. And we prayed for her. We had her at home with a doctor that did home birth. And but he thought I was in false labor because I was a month early. And so he didn't show up, but the baby came. So that was very interesting. Then after Esther was born, we moved to California and lived in Southern California for about 4 years. And I really did not want an only child. You know, but I was very determined that my baby, my toddler, my preschooler would know Jesus. And the Lord was very clear to me, even before we moved to California, that he was calling me to lead 1 to 4-year-olds to salvation and in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, if this is what you want me to do, you're going to have to show me how to do this. I don't have the faintest idea. And so he gave me immediately a little clapping game that I've used for so many children, you know, with groups and then even with little tiny ones on my lap. But very simple. It's Jesus is knocking on your heart. And then everybody gets down and knocks on the floor. Knock, 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 knock. Jesus is knocking on your heart. Knock, 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 knock. What does he say? What does he want? He says, I want to live in Barbara's heart. I want to live in Renee's heart. I want to live in Samantha's heart. You know, and then I would stop and, you know, do you want to open the door for Jesus so he can live in your heart? And the kids would look me right in the eyes and they would nod their heads and they would receive the Lord. And he gave just games and songs and all kinds of things. And so I used those in ministry situations, but I also used them with my children. It started with my daughter Esther when I was telling you yesterday, Apostle, that, you know, I said to the Lord, I don't know how to raise a child to know you, but I want to. I'd met children who knew the Lord, who were filled with the Holy Spirit, and who were operating in the gifts of the Spirit, because as they say, there is no junior Holy Spirit, and Amen. He can speak through any vessel that he wants to. And children don't have a filter that will block him. That's why the word says that we have to become like a little child. We have to put away all the filters, all of the unbelief, all of the hurts, all of the experiences that we layer in front of us, our eyes, and between us and the Lord, as though he has to jump hurdles to get to us. But he already did that on the cross. And what he wants us to do is put down those filters and put down the unbelief and just let it go and say, here I am, Jesus. I'm just like, you know, you're knocking on my heart. I'm opening my heart to you. Come into my heart. So the Lord, you know, when I was talking to him about how do I do this with this baby, you know, what? And he said, just connect everything to me. If you see a cow, that's a cow. God made that cow. God made those clouds. God made this. Smell this flower. Isn't that a pretty smell? God made that. You know, just connect. And then live your relationship with me in front of her. So Amen. That's what I was doing. And I remember when we first moved to California, Esther was about 18 months old when we got there, and maybe she was blessed, but by the time she was 18 months old, there were several other little toddlers that lived in the same, we had some common ground. And Esther would go out and they would march around and she would raise her hands and she would be leading them in worship. And, you know, it was so fun to watch the emerging faith in little kids and yes. to make it happen. Now, it wasn't always like that. But I didn't want an only child. And so I got pregnant again, and I had another miscarriage, and I got pregnant again, and I had another miscarriage, and I got pregnant again, and I had a pretty late-term miscarriage. That was all within a one-year period when Esther was
wow.
three. And I was devastated and wounded, and I didn't know how to even process what my grief should look like or how to move forward. And it was a dark, dark time. And I thought, okay, well, I have one child and she's gifted and wonderful and she knows the Lord and okay. And we moved and we moved to Illinois. And my husband was working at a Christian homeless shelter. So we lived in the shelter in an apartment there with Esther. She's 4 and 5 and 6 years old at this time. And I'm doing the cooking. And then later I moved and started working at the Battered Women's Shelter that was housed in the YWCA. And I became the children's counselor and crisis consultant, did a lot of work with children that were being abused and that were coming into the shelter because their father was abusing their mother and them. And all of a sudden, I was pregnant again. And I got to about the same point in the pregnancy as my last miscarriage. And I started going into labor. And this time we were able to get the labor stopped with medication, and I carried the baby full term, and that was Nancy. And so there's 7 years between Esther and Nancy. And then we moved back to St. Louis, and when Nancy was 2, and I was pregnant with Audrey. And within the next, from the time Nancy was born until my youngest son, Roger, was born, there's 8 years. So I had 6 children in 8 years. And Esther became my right-hand man until she grew up and finished junior college, and then she went as a missionary to Romania. And Nancy grew up. I homeschooled everybody from the time Esther was in second grade until I homeschooled Nancy from kindergarten through 12th grade, and then she went into the Air Force. She became an air traffic controller, and then she met her husband, and they're very successful, still working in aviation, both of them. And then my daughter, Audrey, she started in public school in St. Louis, in the St. Louis City Schools, when she was in 8th grade. And then we moved when she was in 9th grade to Crevecoeur, to the county. So she changed schools at that point. But she's an accountant. She's married to a CPA, and they have a little boy. Nancy has 2 kids. Esther's married, doesn't have any children. Esther is a programmer, married to a programmer. It's interesting, as I tell this, their husbands are in similar fields so far. Next is Lottie. Lottie met her husband at art school, Fine Art, the Kansas City Art Institute. And they both work in retail right now. They live in Kansas. Esther lives in St. Louis. Nancy lives in Georgia. Audrey lives in Philadelphia. Then Colin. Colin's my first boy, my fifth child. And he is a math professor, a PhD in math and physics. And he's at Drury University in Springfield, Missouri. And he's married to a dentist, and they don't have any children. And then Alice. And Alice is married to Sempa, and Sempa works in pharmaceuticals as a scientist. And Alice has a PhD in political science, and she works in with big data. And they have a little boy, and they have the one on the way that I just found out about on Mother's Day. Hooray! And then my baby is Roger, and Roger works for Boeing. He lives in St. Louis. He's an engineer, and his wife is a teacher, and they have two little kids. So those are my kids. They all, because I spent such concentrated time with them as the homeschooling parent, but a very big component. I did a very rigorous academic homeschool, as you could see, because, you know, they're academics themselves, and so am I. So that was very important to me. But it was also important to me that they be schooled in the things of the kingdom, that they know the mm-hmm. word, that they know the Lord, that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. All of them received the Lord, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and were baptized in water very early. I mean, before they were 8 years old, all three of those things had happened to all of them. Many of them are less than fully committed to walking after him now, but I'm holding them to the yeah. word that the Lord is able to keep that which is committed to him. And I know I've committed them to him. I know the words that he's spoken over their lives, and I know that they've committed themselves to him, and I know that he is faithful. And so while there's mix in the family right now, there is going to be my children and my grandchildren will fulfill those things that the Lord has planned for them. And they're going to say yes to him ultimately. So that's who they are. You know, I raised them. I had a couple rules for myself. And people would say, oh, you have seven children, it's so much work. And I go, well, you don't have all seven of them at the same time, usually. You have time to get used to each one. Although I did see, you know, a news article with, like, somebody had 10 babies. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that would be too much. You need super grace, you know. I had three in diapers twice. That was pretty daunting, but it was okay. It passed. Everybody mm-hmm. lived. And there's a lot of funny stories, but you know, if people would say to me, you know, how do you know, what do you have to know to be a good parent? And I would say, well, there's only things you have to know. You have to know who the grown-up is, and you have to know that everybody, kids and yourself, defaults to sin. And if you think your kids don't sin, and if you don't know who the one who's supposed to be in charge is, then you're going to have trouble. But those two little things, you know who the grown-up is, buck stops here, and then know, you know, just realize that we're sinners and we're going to sin. And I'm not going to immediately say to my child, if they're accused, I'm not immediately going to join the accuser, but I am not going to out of hand say, oh, my child couldn't have done that. Yes, he could. Yes, she could. And depending on which one it is, yeah, they probably did, you know. And, you know, when there's things that you don't know what to do with, I mean, one time one of my children stole about $200 out of the purse of a woman who came to visit my house. And I knew in my spirit that she had done this, but I could not find it. She would not break. I didn't know what to do. So I restored the money to this woman, which I really didn't have. And then I went to fast. I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get to the truth here. So I'll just fast. Well, the interesting thing is I fasted quite frequently. But when I fasted, I would not make my favorite meal. And I had already made my favorite meal for this day's dinner. And so everybody's sitting at the table. And, they were passing the food around the table. And one of the girls said to me, Mom, wait a minute. Because I just passed the food and I didn't have a plate. Are you fasting? One of the girls said. And I said, yeah. And she said, well, you never make good food when you fast. It would typically be hot dogs, you know, for them, you know. Why are you fasting? Is it because of what this girl did? And I'm like, I said, it's none of your business. And I just cast the food. Well, 5 days later, I still hadn't gotten any closer to solving this, finding the truth. Until the same girl, the same sister, said, you know, my sister is terrified of leprechauns. And I was like, what? And so I went to that sister and I said, your sister says you're terrified of leprechauns. And she broke and she sobbed and she sobbed and she sobbed. And I said, what is the matter? And she said, I keep having this nightmare, and there's a leprechaun that is a pirate, and he's really, really angry because he had 100 pieces of gold, and now he only has 99. And the Spirit of the Lord gave me the words. The Spirit of the Lord said to me, that's because you're that gold coin, and you are safe in Jesus's pocket, and that spirit cannot get you. And that was the Lord. And even the pirate, the leprechaun, that referenced something that I already had to deal with as a familial spirit over the family, as a principality over the family line. So I recognized that when I heard about it, you know, when it came out of her mouth, and it's like, oh, no, this is broken. This is not going to come back and attach itself to you, you know. And she, in that breaking, she also revealed that she had, in fact, taken the money, and she hadn't spent it, and she restored it. But it was the Lord's way of exposing the assault of the enemy that she would never have disclosed otherwise. There were so many stories like that. You know, so many, when a four-year-old had recurring nightmares, and this is my artist's daughter, and she would be so upset. And the Lord, I went to the Lord, and what do I do? How do I break this? And he told me to have her to draw her nightmare. And when she did, it was so fast. There were many different images, but like one was a robber climbing a ladder up to her window. One was a wolf. I mean, they all had scriptural allusions. You know, she was
4 years old. Mm-hmm. So I could go element by element to her drawing and show her the scripture and say, let's pray that this, you know, the Lord will not let this happen. He is not like a robber, and he's going to defend you. He's going to protect you. And I'd give her the scriptures, and we'd take the blood of Jesus with a big red crayon, and we'd scribble out the drawing, and then we burnt the nightmare. And that solved it, you know. But the wisdom that comes from the Lord is different for each child in each situation. I'll tell one more story and then I'll stop. But when my son Colin was 16, and he was in the orchestra at the high school, and they had practice at like 7 in the morning, and I took him at 6:30 in the car, and then I went to work, and the other kids took the school bus later. And I had two rules after we moved to West County. My marriage failed. I got divorced. And that's why I put all the kids in public school, because I had to work. We had to have income. And instead of having a very oppressive house with many layers of rules that we had when I was married, when we moved to the new house, I said to the kids, okay, we're changing everything. We're going to only have two rules. The first rule is everybody has to be safe. And the second rule is everybody has to be respected. At this time, my youngest son was in fourth grade, and my oldest daughter wasn't. She was grown and gone. So my second oldest daughter had graduated. She was working and about to enter the Air Force as soon as she turned 18. So my son, I also had a jar that I kept. So if you disrespected somebody by calling them a jerk, you had to put $20, because everybody's working, the older ones anyway. You had to put $20 in the jar. That jar was my lunch money jar. And you also had that same fine if you locked somebody on the balcony, and that you also had that same fine if somebody locked you out on the balcony and you jumped off the balcony. But the rule was you can't disrespect somebody. So this son was mad at one of his sisters, and he's venting in the car, going off on her and saying, well, she's such a jerk. And I did not allow them to call each other names like that. And I said, that'll be $20. And he looked at me and he said, Mom, why do you always get on us for such little things? And I said, well, think about it. Have I ever had to get on any of you for a big thing? And he looked at me and he said, oh, good point, Mom. So that if that encourages people, I mean, they're funnies, but I think that's how I worked through. And, you know, as a single mother, you know, I was single parenting minor children for 12 years. And every single month I would go to the Lord and I go, Jesus, you're the husband, you're the father in this house. And I need you to put your hand in your pocket, because I never made enough money for all six of the kids that were living at home at that time and all the bills. But I never missed the bill. I never missed the payment. He's always faithful. He's always, like you said, with us. He always sees.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Wow. That was something to go through. $20? Man, that was a lot of money they had to pay.
Yeah. Well, you have to have a big deterrent, right?
Right.
I had five teenagers at the same time, you know. You can't do that easily. You have to lay down the ground rules, Besides, I needed lunch money,
Right. Amen. So before we begin to open the lines, because it's time to open the lines up, I want you to just pray for those in who have children, whether it's one or seven or eight or whatever. But pray for the mothers and really encouraging their hearts in the Lord.
Yeah.
For this wonderful task as a mother.
Yeah. Okay.
And I would say, I want to add this, who have young children, teenagers, and grown children. Amen.
Yeah. Well, Father, you are good. You are from everlasting to everlasting. And you're a father. And you understand parenting. And you understand, you've made us women to be the mothers. You've given us the heart that nurtures and that grieves. Lord, I do bless you for your ways and your wisdom and your presence and your truth. I do pray for every mother that is listening and every man that's listening, that his heart will be turned towards his own mother and towards his wife and towards his daughters. Lord, I pray for your grace to be poured out. I pray for your comfort to be poured out. I pray for your wisdom to be poured out on each woman's heart, that there is no weapon formed against them or against their children that prospers, that you see everything they are enduring, if it's good, if it's bad, if it's evil, if it's abusive. Father, you see it, and you have the strategy and the word of life that will break the yoke, that will shatter the strongholds, and that will allow the way of escape to be visible. And Lord, for those who are needing comfort, I just release comfort and peace. For those who are needing to know what to do next, for those who are facing difficult parenting challenges that are just holding up their hands to you and saying, what do I do now? I thank you that you're always ready to provide what we need, to give an answer to those who ask, who seek, who knock, or who persist in chasing after you, who are like that woman who interrupts the meal and gets a healing and deliverance for her child, even though she's not even in the right culture. Lord, that there's faith that pushes past every obstacle. There's faith that's activated by our mother's heart. And the examples in your word are so powerful and extreme. Lord, I just pray that you would release the mothers to trust you and abandon themselves to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm going to open a line first for Pastor Mom. Anyone else, press your number one key. Pastor Price, I see your number one key press. Hallelujah. I think last night, just recently, the number one key was not working. It seems to be working tonight. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So, amen. So if you would like to encourage the woman of God, you have a prayer request. You have a prophecy request. Praise God. You can press your number one key. Amen. Because the Lord does speak through this woman of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I wanted to say, though, I really love what the Lord gave you with the children, ages, 1 to 4, about, mm-hmm. the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart. That is so beautiful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord has talked to me about how important it is, for children to get saved.
Yes.
At a young age. And there's a school of thought that they can't make a decision at that age, but they can.
They can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some of them, making the decision when, like you said, when they don't have, well, I'll just paraphrase it, where their hearts are not jaded and protected and mm-hmm. all of that. Their hearts are open and ready to receive. And I think about even, my daughter, she received Jesus. She was 9. She was old compared to, but she, received Jesus at 9. And I'm so glad that she did, because I want to say this in the best possible way. It's like sometimes as they get older, their intellect will try to build up walls and think that mm-hmm. A relationship with God, which they may call religion, a relationship with God is for weak people.
Right.
For people that need a crutch. And I'll say religion, not a relationship with God. But, that's how they, think sometimes. So, praise God. I love that at a young age. And then I was just reading about Josiah. I believe it was Josiah who became king at 8 years old.
Right.
And, as I was just kind of, meditating on that, 8 years old. And the thing that was so awesome is that he did right by the Lord.
Yeah.
Well,
and Samuel was probably 4. And David mm-hmm. was 17 when he killed Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
And John the Baptist was in the womb when he recognized Jesus. Jesus is 12 when he's confounding the rabbis at the temple.
Right.
There's a whole bunch, there's a whole bunch of children in the Bible that do major things for the Lord. Moses, broke his way into Pharaoh's heart as a newborn.
Right. Amen. And so now you guys heard that. That's I'll look at that as a little advertisement for Dr. Leslie, how she went through the Bible like that. And so we're going to have her back again, in not next week, but week after next, and she will be talking about the mothers in the Bible. The Lord has given her a revelation on that, and she's going to share that with us. God, we look forward to that. So first, mm-hmm. let's open the line for Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine, and of course, pray for Pastor.
Yes, I'm going to pray for anybody who wants it.
Amen. Pastor Mom, welcome.
Yes, Pastor. Welcome. Thank you. And being for this to need to be in there. So I thank you, Lois, for being there.
Thank you for being there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus, I just pray your blessing on Pastor Mom.
Mm-hmm.
That you will say to her that she has served you so well, that you will honor her, you will bring her many people to to give her at just the honor that is due her, that you will continue to use her in prayer and in the word, and that she will just rejoice in your presence, that you will be so available to her, in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
You're welcome.
I could give you over to
the Catherine.
Well,
hello,
Pastor Catherine. Hello. Well, praise
God. Hello.
Dr. Les, it's so good to hear you again. I always always enjoy your testimony about yourself, your years of salvation.
I don't think I've ever heard
you talk about when you was at Washington University. And like you said, you were looking for some Christians, and you didn't know there were any in the United States here.
I know, and I was very naive.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, I said, you know, there still might be some people out there that still may not know, if they're young Christians, you know what I'm saying? There still might be some people out there that's just getting to know the Lord. And that's why it's so important for us to not to pass up people and then not to be a witness to them. So I thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. And I just, as I look at the story of your life, that you've been through so many. I've never had a miscarriage, but I'm told it's very difficult after you have a miscarriage, and then you had all the other children. What a blessing!
Yes,
that's a blessing. Yes. But God took you through in spite of all the things that you've gone through, and I know that He still is rewarding you for all the things that you've gone through. So. And I just also enjoyed how you taught your children, and it just I thank God for just having you on tonight. I just enjoyed your story, and I just thank Apostle for just having you on tonight. Now I'd also want to say this to you, and I know you know this, but I think it's the best investment that you can make is to homeschool your children. I always wanted to do that, but I never got a chance to do it. My husband didn't agree, but I think that's the best investment, even if you don't do it but for a couple of years. That's one of the best investments that you could ever make. So I just praise God.
I agree. Well, I was going to say I agree with you, and yet it is an absolute full-time 24/7 commitment. So
yes.
I believe you really do have to hear the Lord if you're to do it and when you're to do it and how you're to do it. But it costs a lot, and that's why it's an investment.
Yes,
you know?
That's what I call it. It's a great investment.
Yes.
So God bless you. You planted some good seeds, and I know you. What I want to also ask, and then I'm going to stop, you said Esther went on a mission field?
Esther was a missionary in Romania. She worked in an orphanage for 5 years.
Oh, did
she? Now she's back. Now she lives in St. Louis.
Oh, okay. Well, praise God.
Praise God. Yeah.
All right, dude. All right. Love
thank
you.
You.
Thank you so much.
Welcome love you. It's
you.
So good to hear your voice.
You too.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Catherine and Pastor Mom. Now on for Pastor Price. And then,
friend.
I see you, Minister Rachel, you're next. Anyone else? Press your number one key.
Amen. Praise God. God bless you.
Oh,
hi,
you
God
too.
God bless you, Apostle, and Dr. Lorraine and all of the precious saints in their respective places. Dr. Lorraine, this was so very special and precious tonight. I enjoyed every second of it. I mean, it was just like, you know, sometimes you can get online and you might be a little sleepy and tired and you can't quite. it was just, every word was just such a blessing. One of the things that came, all glory to God, one of the things that came in my spirit while you were talking about was I was thinking about one of my favorite movies with Jimmy Stewart, and it is called It's a Wonderful Life. And to think about all of the, you know, he had a wonderful life, even though it had a lot of twists and turns and some bad spots in it, you know, but it was just such a wonderful life. And to think about the wonderful life that, that God has given you. I thought about when we went to heaven and the books of, hallelujah, and the books are going to be open. I thought about that. Is he going to allow us to see some of the wonderful stories in eternity of the people's lives like yourself? Just such a wonderful, wonderful testimonies of what God has done. Did I say it? Well, I'm sorry. My daughter corrected me because I, Dr. Leslie, I said Dr. Lorraine, didn't I? Dr. Leslie.
Yeah, but you know who I am. That's not a problem.
Dr. Leslie Barker. No, but my daughter had to get up. Andrew had to get up. She said, Mama, her name. Well, it's
no
good thing
problem.
She knows your name. I know your name, too, but I said Dr.
Lorraine. I know you know my
name.
I know.
I have a friend of mine in New Jersey, and her name is Lorraine. And you kind of remind me of her, too, so I said it must have been one
funny.
Of those. Those psychological faux pas, or hybrid faux pas, or whatever
it's
it is.
Fine. It's fine.
Glory to God. But I just thank God for you, and thank God for that word, and for that wonderful word. I thought about when Joy was just a little one, like you said, when they were just 1 and 2 years old. She was just 1 and 2. And I would ask her, because I love the Lord, and I wanted her to know him at a young age, and I would say, Joy? I said, Joy, you want Jesus in your heart? She said, no. And she would be adamant, even if we were in a service. I would say, Joy, you want Jesus in your heart? No. And so then one day I was down here in Memphis visiting, and they had a picture of Jesus on the wall, you know, a simulation of Jesus on the wall standing at the door knocking in the bedroom where we were sleeping at. And she woke me the next morning. She said, Mama, Jesus knocking at the door of my heart. I want Jesus.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Yes.
That's
and I knew that
good.
Was real. I knew.
Amen.
Because, see, I had seen so many children that would just, there was a picture on, they called the, some kind of picture where they would raise their hands up and say, by the power of the gray skull, something. It was a picture a long time ago on the white movie that, you know, it was a cartoon the children used to. I said, if they can say something like that, then they can also know Jesus. And then with Apostle and I, one day we were coming, I'd ask people if they wanted to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and I would minister to them, and Joy raised her hand. And she was still just a little bitty girl. She wasn't about 3 years old. And she said, you know, she said, I want to receive. I said, well, I'll minister you when you get home, back to Mom's house, because we were in St. Louis at the time. And so when we got home, she said, but Mama, you said.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, she held me to it. Glory to God. So I just thank God for that. I thank God for the tremendous ways of what God has done. But I love the way that he has you about knocking on the floor. And that was that was just tremendous. The other thing that came to my spirit as you were talking was that one of the things about when we love him so much was Mr. Rogers. And he had such a calming spirit, a calming voice, and a way of being where when he spoke, to listen to what he said and to get it down. Well, that's the way your voice reminded me today.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Huh. As you told the story, hallelujah, to be able to, you know, to minister to our hearts, to minister to our minds in such a way that we could be able to receive it and understand it. There is someone that I know that's very dear and near to me, very, very near and dear to me, and you sound just like her. I mean, her voice sounds, just, even in your laughter, your intonations, your words that you speak, and the Lord said, see the potential that can be in this one, that one that's close to me. He said, see the potential. He said that she could be just like her, and like Dr. Leslie. I'm known sometimes to kind of mess up names sometimes, but I'm going to say Dr. Barker.
Right.
I'll put Dr. Barker on there. I know your last name. Glory to God. I get a problem with Stacy's and Tracy's and stuff like that. But anyway, I thank God for you. And so I'm going to ask you if you would also pray. Oh, before I say that about praying for me, and if there's any word the Lord has, I want to thank you for all the encouragement you've given in your website that's on Facebook, and the encouragement to grandmothers as well as to mothers. And I thank God
for you
and all the encouragement that you give. And my soul was blessed tonight, and I give glory to God for that. Glory to God.
Praise God. Praise God. So how do you want me to pray for you?
Well, one of the things, if there was anything I would like, is one of the things that I'm noticing is although my husband went to be with the Lord in December of 2020, and it's now been maybe about a year and something. And the last few days I was noticing that I'm still, I want to encourage other people whose loved ones have passed. And I want to be an encouragement to others whose loved ones have gone to be with the Lord. And then sometimes I just feel like I'm still going through myself.
and I'm still saying,
well, I don't want to be selfish. I'm still going through myself. I want to be able to encourage them, but I'm still, I'm still sleeping in the same bed we slept in. I'm still, sometimes, you still sense to see the presence. We had one last little thing, on our 40th wedding anniversary, we had our 42nd before he went to be with the Lord, 42nd wedding anniversary. But on our 40th one, we had a great big huge balloon. And they bought us a balloon with 40 years anniversary. And when they got us that big huge balloon, we were coming out of Cheesecake Factory. I was holding on tight to that balloon and getting ready to get in the car. And it just seemed like it just got away from me. And it flew up into the air. And when the balloon flew up into the air, it was like it was nothing I could do about it. I knew it was an expensive balloon. I knew that the girls had spent a lot on that balloon, but there was nothing I could do about it. But just watch it go up in the air, and it was gone. And I asked the Lord then, that was at the 40th anniversary, what meaning is this? Well, as I sat by the bed, that was kind of like, it was like the balloon going up in the air. I can't really explain it to you like I can say it to you, that the balloon going up into the air, that's all. I can't, but I'm still saying, Lord, help me to be able to also encourage other hearts. But sometimes I don't think I'm encouraging some people's hearts as much as I could when their husband or their child or their family member has gone on to be with the Lord. And that's one of the prayers that I'm asking that God would help me during this time.
Oh, I will pray for you. I will disclose it's been 1 year since yesterday that my father died. And this has been a difficult year for me. So I do understand what you're saying. But let's go to the Lord and let's see, how he leads us. Father, in Jesus' name, I just bless Pastor Helen. I thank you for her. I thank you for her faithfulness. I thank you for her wisdom. I thank you for her heart that has been running hard after you as long as I've known her and beyond. I thank you for her children that she's raised to know you. I thank you for a marriage that lasted 42 years. And I thank you that you are the shepherd of her heart. You are the one who leads her beside the still waters and restores her soul. And Father, right now, I just call forth that comfort that is far above anything that can be stated in this world, that you are the one and the only one that is worthy of her full heart. Lord, that you know every tear. You know every anxious thought. You know every place where she's asking questions. You know every place where she's still angry or where she doesn't understand. But you are the one who gives that paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release your comfort. And I call forth any grief that is is anything that's attaching to Helen's grief that is not from you. In Jesus' name, I come and break off any spirit of heaviness for any false grief that would attach to her. Lord, that you would put between Helen and any assignment against her soul from the enemy, I would place a barrier, the blood of Jesus, the shield that you say that you are, Lord, that you would ring her round with a host of heaven that has swords drawn, that nothing can touch her, nothing can come between you and her, nothing can separate her from your love, Lord. So I just pull off any condemnation that has come against her, any false demands that she's even putting on herself, Lord, that you would be the one that is the one who holds her and the one who releases her, that you just go before her now. Lord, if she needs to change things about her daily routine, would you give her those simple little things? Lord, that you give her the way to make the memories that are useful, that the legacy, that she will remember the good things, that she will hold on to the testimonies. Lord, show her what to write that would be cathartic, but that would also bring her through and bring others through. Lord, I thank you even for the model of C.S. Lewis in his writing, The Grief Observed, about the death of his wife. Pray that you would use this time and use this wrestling to not just be a quick comfort, but that you would equip Helen with tools and a way to go deep, to go deep to the root of people's grief, that it wouldn't be a shortcut, and that you wouldn't allow her to have a shortcut. Helen, I'm seeing, you know, I think you call it a dibble or a dibbit. It's a gardening tool, and it looks like a long screwdriver with a little hook on the end, with a double hook, but you stick it down in the ground and it goes deep and it can get at the deepest root and just pluck it out with very little effort. But it has to go deep. And so I just ask the Lord to be the gardener in your heart, that your soul would bloom with all of the plantings that he's made, and that anything that's trying to poke its way in to his garden in your heart, he has the right tools to gently pull it out. And you're going to see him, you're going to understand this season. But it's going to be after you come through it that you'll understand when it's finished, because there'll be a time, I believe, that the Lord will give you a threshold, even like an archway, a doorway, an outside doorway, that you'll see yourself stepping out of one season and into a new place and a new season. And you'll be able to look back at it, and it will be like that balloon. That whole season will be like the balloon, and it'll just go away. It'll just escape from you. You won't be able to get it back. It will be over. It will be finished. And you'll be in a new place. But just let the Lord be the one who gives you the signal and says, look, there's the archway, there's the threshold, come now, and he'll pull you through, and it'll be you'll know it. It's a different place.
Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you so much, and I praise God, and thank you so much for tonight, and I give glory to God.
Amen. Me too.
Amen. I'll go back on mute then. God bless.
Okay, you too, Pastor Price. Amen. If anyone else, if you have anything to say, you want to encourage the woman of God, press your number one key. Amen. And we'll open up your line. Okay, Minister Rachel. Now, I don't know if you remember Minister Rachel. She's my goddaughter from New Jersey.
I do. Yes.
Oh,
and on Tuesdays, I hear her praying. Yes.
Hi, Dr. Leslie.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Godmom. And Pastor Mom, Pastor Catherine, and everyone. And Pastor R. Helen, everyone. I just want to say I thank God for your obedience. Just sharing what God bless you to grow through and the wisdom he blessed you to glean as you obeyed him. I know.
Amen.
Homeschooling is not for everybody.
Right.
Yeah. It is rewarding that we get to add, you know, get to share Jesus with our children and
Amen.
Give them that foundation and that love.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
Bonding time with our children and the education. So God bless you for sharing, and God bless you for all your prayers.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I believe the Lord is, you know, he has led you. I mean, even since I first came on, I think you've called in every time, Minister Rachel, and you know, just to hear you on the Tuesdays, on those calls, and to see what the Lord is bringing forth through your children, great encouragement, and you know, let him continue to lead you, and to, you know, he's so willing to tell us what to do when we ask him. I think it's when we think we can go it on our own that he lets us bump our head against the wall until we say, oh wait, where did I go wrong, and how do I get back? You know, what do I need to do now? He's so helpful.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pray for her before we go, okay? Pray for Minister Rachel.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, I just do bless you for your daughter, Lord, that you've given her a name that is so filled with grace, and Lord, I just pray that blessing that was issued in the word over women, that may you be like Rachel and Leah that built up the house of Israel, that the Jewish people say that blessing now even to a woman as she's getting married. Lord, I thank you for this Rachel, that she is your daughter, and she is a blessing. And I pray that she would grow in her discernment, that she would be able to see when you place somebody in her, around her, that she would have the words from the Spirit of the Lord, that she would have the vision, that she would know your heart for people, that you would activate in her that seer anointing, and that she would be able to speak a word in due season, that she would be able to actually build up the people in your household, in your kingdom, just like it's pronounced over Rachel and Leah. Lord, that she will be a blessing, and she will be blessed, and she will just have the word of the Lord in due season, that people will look at her and just know that they're receiving a refreshing breeze, that the wind of God, the wind of the Holy Spirit would blow through you, Rachel. and that it would touch people and wrap around them and pull them into the, to be closer to the Lord, that there would be a jealousy that people feel, a holy, passionate jealousy that they see you and they go, I want my faith to be like hers. I want my walk to be like hers. I want my relationship with my children to be like hers. And that would be a motivating force, and it would push people to the Lord deeper and deeper into his word and into his presence, and that you would be able to speak a word, point at something out, have a word in due season, and give it with authority in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We have one more. Praise God. Anyone else? Pressure number one, Key. We still have time. Opening the line now for Minister Mary. I don't know if you know Minister Mary, Dr. Lesson. She's my sister from Memphis. Welcome, Minister Mary.
All right.
Mary.
Well. Hi, Dr. Leslie. It was so good to hear you tonight. Just as my sister Helen said, your words are so comforting. And when you hear another mother speaks who has multiple children, it just confirms a lot of things. I have five children and six grandchildren. And I guess what I wanted to ask you about was now that I've gotten older and, you know, my children are adults and everything now. Mm-hmm. The thing that I'm working on now is just continuing in the joy of the Lord and making sure that I don't worry.
Yeah.
You know, and I just want to hear you speak on that a little bit.
I think that's a really good good thing to be committed to, and it's very good to meet you, Sister Mary. Well, I think that we are not to, you know, we're not to worry, but the word gives us the remedy for worry, right? It's to cast our cares on him, to be anxious for nothing, but with in everything by prayer and supplication, to make our requests known to God. And, you know, if you don't use that strategy, the world that we're living in and the world that our grandchildren are growing up in and the things that they seem to feel okay about touching and experiencing, they're worrisome, but the Lord knows, you know. I think about what said about Mary, Jesus' mother, you know, after the prophet Simeon spoke to her in the temple, and he basically said, you know, there's going to be trouble ahead. You know, a sword is going to pierce your own soul also. This one, your baby, it's for the rising and the falling of many in Israel, and a sword will pierce your own soul also. You know, she had to ponder that and deal with that and then watch Jesus be even crucified. She's right there, you know, and yet by the time Pentecost came in Acts chapter 2, she's right there witnessing with the people, right there with the Holy Spirit. You know, I think that the Lord is good, and he knows our hearts, and he doesn't condemn us if we do fall into a place where we're worrying, as long as we don't wallow in it and we just have to release it to him, you know, and wait for the opportunity to then speak into things that, I mean, one of my grandsons is 8 years old now, and about a year, and he does not know the Lord. About a year ago, I was talking to his mother, and he was on some Zoom call with a friend of his. And it's COVID time. Nobody's at school. Nobody's at work. And I hear him, you know, he's aware, you know, we're in the same, you know, both conversations are audible. And he says to his friend, "My nanny thinks she can talk to God." And I said, "Well, no, I don't just think it. I do talk to God, you know, but there are many reasons why I might worry. But I believe that the Lord is worth trusting, and that his promises are yes and amen." And that's what we have to find, you know. If we have a worry, oh, this child doesn't know the Lord, this grandchild doesn't know the Lord, this child is, you know, maybe, you know, experimenting with behaviors and things that we find, you know, very, very serious. Could be life and death, could be eternal life and death, and they're playing with them. You know, those kinds of things bring us to our faith, you know, before the Lord, but we can still say, "Lord, you know, you're good. If you're the one who tells the woman, you know, hey, you're not even, you know, I'm sent to the people in Israel, you know, you're not even fit to, you know, the dogs, you're like a dog." And she says, "Well, even the puppies get the crumbs." And if he says, "Your faith is great. I haven't seen faith like this." So worry, as long as where we're pressing is into the presence of the Most High. You know, just like Hannah can cry her eyes out because she's worried and tormented and tortured. And even the priest thinks that she's drunk and accuses her of that. But, you know, she her heart is, you know, I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord, and he receives that. So, Father, I just pray for Sister Mary. And I don't know why worry is what she's thinking about right now, but I know your heart, and I know that you love this woman. I know that you see what is causing her to worry or even to flirt with it. And I know that you're just wrapping your arms around her. And Lord, I just pray for that place of intimacy for her and you, that you will let her pour out her heart to you like Hannah did. And you will not stand there judging her like Eli judged Hannah, but you will just receive and return back to her the peace that passes all understanding, that keeps her heart and her mind in Christ Jesus. Lord, I do pronounce that peace and release that peace by the power of the Holy Spirit over Mary and over her children and her grandchildren. And Lord, where there is assignment against them from the enemy, I just declare in the name of Jesus that it will not succeed, that what you have preordained, those good works for Mary's family to walk in, that those are the things that are going to prevail. And I just announce in the spirit that the Lord is the victorious one. The Lord is the triumphant one. And the Lord has the throne and the scepter. And he's laughing at the enemy that is raging and coming against this family in whatever way that's happening. Because this will not succeed. I call forth victory and triumph and the overcoming. And Lord, I pray that you would whisper in Mary's ear what it is that you have for her, to her who overcomes. What will you give her? Let her hear your voice and let her see and let her have that motivation to press past whatever this is, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, even as you all were talking and Minister or Dr. Leslie was praying, I thought about, well, this morning I spoke on a broadcast, on another broadcast, and, you know, the topic was in spite of, you know, in spite of the circumstances and the situations, how has God kept you going? And I'm probably paraphrasing it really bad. But anyway, what the Lord was telling me, as I began to just go back and think about the different things in my life and with my child, and the Lord said to me, remember what I said to you before anything happened.
Amen.
You know, remember, because he gave me some blessed assurances before any circumstance or situation happened, and that's what I'm holding on to even now, because there are some circumstances, situations that would cause me to go in a different direction. But because he gave me the blessed assurance, he told me some things. And I know that I know that I know that the Lord has told you some things. And that's why you can still rejoice, you know, during this time, during, you know, when things are going on, you can continue to rejoice because God did tell you something. And and that he'll bring back your remembrance, those things to give you comfort. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, amen. Amen. I was going to say something else. If I remember it, I'll let you know, okay? Amen. But thank you.
Well,
thank
y'all.
You so much. Yeah.
Well, thank y'all. God bless you both.
Thank
amen.
You.
Amen. And I'm so very impressed that you're still awake, okay?
Me? Are you talking to me?
I know.
I'm talking to my sister, Minister Mary. I'm very impressed.
I agree with her. Be very impressed that I'm awake, too.
Right.
This doesn't happen too often.
Yeah. Amen. Have a blessed night, Minister Mary, and thank you.
You too,
all
guys.
Right. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to pray the prayer of salvation and talk about the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcast for a moment here. And then I will come back to you, Dr. Leslie, excuse me, for closing remarks and closing prayer.
All right.
Praise God. You can relax. Just thank you so much. It's been just a wonderful night. Amen.
You're so welcome.
So, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I think about, you know, with what Dr. Leslie said earlier today about how the Lord led her to minister to the children. And one of the scriptures that there were like three main scriptures that the Lord had me to learn and to get under my belt, so to speak, and just meditate on those scriptures for years. And one of them was Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone would hear, and I'm paraphrasing, and they would come and open the door. I will come in and sup with them and them with me. Hallelujah. And will say, and she said to the children, God is knocking at the door of your heart. he's knocking at that door, and he is such a gentleman. Now, he's God Almighty God, ruler of the whole universe, maker and ruler of the entire universe, everything that is and was and will ever be, and yet he's knocking at the door of your heart. He could just bust right up in there. Hallelujah. He could, but he doesn't, because he's a gentleman, and he's waiting on you to open the door. He won't go past you, and he's been waiting. And when you open up the door to your heart, there's a lot of love that's waiting for you. Hallelujah. There's wonderful love that's waiting on you for him to just come in. So open up your heart to him. This is all about love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him," hallelujah, "shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, he wants to come in. Hallelujah. And he needs your permission. Oh, my goodness. The ruler of the universe needs your permission, because he's good like that. And your will means a whole lot. Hallelujah. Just as Dr. Leslie said, the priest said, the only thing you need to do is make a decision. And that's what you need to do, is make a decision. In Romans 10:9, it says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." So confessing with your mouth is saying a prayer. Believing in your heart is making that decision from your heart. I love the way that she said it. She didn't make this decision lightly. She cried over it. She knew that when that decision was made, that it was an eternal life type decision that she was making. And this vision that you're making to pray this prayer is it's a matter of life, eternal life, and eternal death. Hallelujah. And the decision is to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is who the Bible says that he is. To make that choice. None of us was here 2,000 years ago. So this is a faith thing. It's a love thing. And it's a grace thing. And so you make the decision in your heart and pray this prayer after me with all your heart. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your way and help me to follow you. And now I know to the Bible, I'm saved, I'm born again, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I know that was just it seemed like just a simple prayer. But I tell you what, Jesus did all the work. Jesus did the labor. For us, it's a matter of believing and receiving, and you've done that today. Hallelujah. We praise God for you. And now we want to just pray over you now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for them, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for touching them right now and filling them to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit and with power. We thank you, Lord God, that they will have power to prayer language, power to walk right, power to live right, power to think right by your Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord God. You are the awesome one, the holy one, the true and living one. And we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen Amen. Now, we want to invite you, because now you are a part of the body of Christ. You are part of the family of Christ. Hallelujah. And so we want to invite you to learn and to grow. And, you know more about Jesus. Know more about the Father and about the Holy Spirit. You can do that by going to a Bible-believing church. Hallelujah. If they talk about the Holy Bible, they're teaching the Holy Bible, you will learn. You will grow. Praise God. And we also want to invite you to be a part or to partake in the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. Hallelujah. We have 4 or 5 broadcasts every week. So in different times, you can meet us and learn and grow. Praise God. So on Sunday, we have a church service, the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. Pastor Mom Willie B. McCoy is the senior pastor, and I'm Apostle Barbara Kizzy, the apostolic pastor. We meet every Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. Hallelujah. I'm going to be preaching on this Sunday, and we're doing a series on salvation, and now we're talking about sanctification, and I'm going to be sharing with you some sanctification type examples. Amen. Hallelujah. On Monday, we have Bible teaching. Our Bible teacher is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro from Ohio, and she teaches us how to dig into the Word of God, even as she teaches. And so we call it Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Every Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. On Tuesdays, we have our prayer service that we call Praying in Tongues Tuesday. Hallelujah. 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. And 4 people volunteer to pray in tongues. Then we do that, pray in tongues, and then we have interpretation of tongues. It is no less than awesome. Meet us there. Every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. On the second Wednesday of every month, which was last night, the second Wednesday of every month, we have a healing service, and it's called Prophetic Healing. Glory to God. Last night, there were 6 healings. Hallelujah. And so we thank God. Glory to God. And I'm trying to get my math together. In the past 3 months, there were over 20 healings in the past 3 months. Glory to God. So the next time we'll get together is the second Wednesday in June, and that is June the 8th. June the 8th. So mark your calendar. First, clear your calendar. Mark your calendar. Set your cell phone alarm. Amen. For Wednesday, June the 8th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then on Thursday, which is today, we have our Thursday night edition of Get 'Em Radio. And it's a place where you learn and grow, and there's many topics that the Lord is having us to talk about. This month, Wise Mother's Month. Next week, on the 19th, we will have Sister Debbie. Hallelujah. And Sister Debbie has 7 children. Amen. And she has grandchildren, but she just had a grandchild probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, her youngest grandchild. So we're looking forward to talking to her. God has blessed her even with the 7 children. She went back to school and got her bachelor's degree. Hallelujah. Amen. Am I saying bachelor's or associate's? I know she went back to college. So God has just blessed her. She is a wise woman. Hallelujah. A wise mother. Praise God. The Lord has taught her some really wonderful things that she's going to share with us on next Thursday. Hallelujah. And it's 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Amen. So that's our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. Welcome to the family. Praise God. Amen. So now we're going to go back to Dr. Leslie. Just really enjoyed you a lot. Amen. And I don't know, maybe we might have to have you in 2023, or maybe we'll just keep this streak going back again in 2024. But you're going to be here two times at least in 2022. So please give us your closing remarks and closing prayer.
All right. Well, let me just repeat that it's always an honor to be asked to participate in this, and I take it seriously. You know, the Lord gives a word, and it's for us, and it's for whoever else will listen to this later. So it's an honor to be used by the Lord, and to be able to share His love and goodness. It's so much fun to watch your faithfulness too, Apostle. You know, you've been faithful, and you've been consistent and present to obey Him, and I know that it hasn't been easy all the time, but He's been faithful and turned back. So
hallelujah. Amen.
You know, and being a mom, it's not something I really thought about as a goal when I was a little girl. I know one of my sisters, really, that's all she really wanted to do. That wasn't all that I wanted to do. But I have to say, it's an identity that you never give back. And it changes you, and even as you change, and as the roles within the family change, and as people mature, and people, new people are born, and old people go on to be with the Lord, and all the dynamics shuffle around again, it's still a treasure. So I will pray and then I'll sleep. But Lord God, I love you. And I want to thank you that you have called us to be women, whether we have children or whether we don't have children. We're daughters of Eve. We're the ones that are called to, when we are called into battle, you send us after the enemy's head. That's how women fight, in the spirit. And Lord, there's an anointing and there's an authority that you give to women that is different than what you give men. And I thank you that you allow us to walk in that place. Lord, and I know there's vulnerable temptations, and there's traps too that we women are vulnerable to in different ways than men are. But we just submit to you that we are your daughters, we are your girls, and that we choose Jesus. We choose to be among that company. Great is the company of women that proclaim the good news. Lord, we choose to be in that company. We choose to love you and know you and live for you. We choose to be, to not flaunt our physical attributes, choose to have a gentle and quiet spirit. We choose to let your Holy Spirit rise up in us. We choose you. And we choose to have our children and our grandchildren hear what you've done. We won't hide it from them. And even if they don't grasp it yet, we still hold it out to them until, like Pastor Helen said, one day they come and they say yes to you. Lord, so everyone who is wrestling with the fact that one of the children is not saying yes to you, whether they have in the past or whether they never have in the past, I just thank you that you will hear our heart, you'll hear our cry, and you will not put us in a situation where there is no comfort, because you are the comfort and the joy and the future and the hope for our hearts and our families. So we just give you all the honor and all the glory. I pray you bless Apostle Kizzy, bless Pastor Mom, bless this family of ministers, that they will not want for any good thing, especially on the trip that they're planning. Lord, I just pray that you would open the windows of heaven and that you would pour out blessings on this family, because they showcase the mothers in Israel to the world. And Lord, I just thank you for that example. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Dr. Leslie. Thank you so much. I pray that all the virtue that has flowed through you tonight is replaced without limits, measures, or bounds.
Thank you,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, right now for refreshing her, renewing her, reviving her,
Father.
Even she can have a good night's sleep, Lord, and wake up refreshed in the morning. And we give you praise and glory for it now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
A good night's sleep. Have a blessed rest of the night, everyone. Love you all. God bless.
Amen.
Yes. Y'all tell the people them, don't.